Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Spotlight. I'm your host, Tamika Patrice Kane, and three times a month we bring you the authors with the most flaming pens in the literary arena, the publishers dedicated to producing the hottest books, and industry professionals who are sure to take your books to the next level. Today's featured guest is award-winning author Asiko Cooks. Before I bring on the guest, I'd like to say Happy New Year to all of you. I do hope that your year is getting off to a fantastic start. I'm also glad to bring in the new year with you after a six-month hiatus, so this was very exciting to be doing this show today. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome you to author Asiko Cooks, who also goes by the name Peter Mack. Welcome to the show. Peter?
Hi, thank you. Peter? Thank you for having me. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Glad that you can be with us today. So we'll go ahead and just jump right on in. So let's start off by talking about the names that you write under, since Asiko Cook is not the only moniker that you use to publish books. What other pseudonyms do you use?
Well, I only use Peter Mack. Asiko Cooks is my government name. I started writing under Peter Mack after my first book was published, which was Hood Sweet. And because I was locked into an exclusive contract, I had gotten some advice that I could write under my great-grandfather's name, well, under Peter Mack, and I thought my great-grandfather would be a perfect choice for the style of writing that I began writing under.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, are you still doing books under Peter Mack, or are you just now doing books exclusively under Asiko Cooks?
Well, I published four novels under Peter Mack, and when it came time for me to write Filthy, which was based on a true story of my youth, I thought it best to return to my government name because I wanted it to ring true with my family. I wanted to represent my family, and because it was more personal. So the second book that I wrote under Asiko Cooks, which was just released last week, which is Watermelon Summer, I also wrote under Asiko Cooks. But my next offering, and I think, you know, emotionally, I think I'm done with telling my own story, even though that story seems to resonate really well with readers. I'm going to return to Peter Mack Presents and publish under Peter Mack probably for the foreseeable future, at least the next few books.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little about your publishing journey. So you mentioned that you had been under an exclusive contract. I've read a few of your books and really enjoy your writing style. So how
Thank
many
you.
Books
Thank
have you.
You
written? And let's talk about your publishing journey.
Man, I really lose count. Sometimes I say eight, sometimes I say nine, then I look back for the titles and I realize it's 10. So it just depends on how you want to count them up. My first ever book that I published was called Play My Hand, The Sex, Violence, Money, and Murder of Raymond Cooks, and that was an autobiography. And I wrote that just to kind of look back on my life and see where it all went, you know, kind of like a self-examination. And then there was Hood Sweet, and we see three, A Neighborly Affair, truly, I think maybe like 9 or 10. Honestly, I would have to sit here and tell you every title, but I think it's about eight, 10, around there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, are they all available for purchase?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh,
I think,
are.
You
okay.
know what, my sister was just asking me about Play My Hand, and then the company that published that book was sold, so I don't think Play My Hand is for sale, but everything else is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Okay. And so now I'm just have chosen some very risque subject matter in that book. Where did the inspiration come from to write those stories?
Oh, man. You know, what I do is address trending topics. I address topics like, as you mentioned, risque. I introduced a transgender stripper in book 2 of Licks. And I introduced a thug who likes gay boys in that same book. So the second book is called Nasty. It's Licks, Dirty, Nasty Daddy, right? So in Nasty, you really wanted to push the envelope and address topics that were trending, that were in the headlines, and put them in a way that people can look at them objectively and not pressured into a way of thinking, by their peers or by somebody they're having a discussion with. So I think that as a writer, it's our responsibility to examine social issues and give a reader an opportunity to make their own decision without peer pressure. So that was my meaning. And in book three of Licks, which is Daddy, we addressed child molestation and sexual abuse of women. So Binky, back from Dirty Licks, and just kind of had her deal with a situation where she had a foster father who was sexually abusing her. So it was an opportunity to address those kind of situations.
Okay, so has this book in particular been well received by your readers? You know, what kind of feedback are you getting
on Licks? Well, either people can't get it or they say it's an urban masterpiece. So either you love it or you hate it.
Like, urban masterpiece. I love that.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because, you know, the writing is, you know, the writing is fresh, it's advanced. Take, for instance, with Filthy. I wrote Filthy maybe 5 or 6, 7 years ago and published it last year, and it won an award. But when I submitted it to different publishing companies 5, 6 years ago, they weren't ready for the style of writing, right?
Gotcha.
So in a way, I feel like because I take writing as a creative art, I push the envelope with my writing style as well. Licks is written in what I consider to be a creative art form, which is, and so if you're not used to reading the way I write or similar writings, it'll take some getting used to. But once you get the flow, and be able to appreciate the flow, you can really get into it. I mean, you're the best judge of character. You did a review for the book, so you tell me, how did you come to receive it?
Well, I haven't finished Licks yet, but I did do a review for the first Dirty Licks, I think it was called.
Right.
I like your writing style. It's different, and I'm going to reserve my comment until I get that review written.
Well, yeah. But like,
you'll know soon enough.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Be sure. Yeah. I just want to remind the readers that Licks is a full trilogy, and it includes previously published Dirty Licks. So that's why I took the opportunity to just include all three books in one book. So it's a nearly 600-page book of three books for themes, but a universal underlying message in it.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned that it won an award. So let's talk about that. What award did it win?
Well, Filthy, written under Isiko Cooks, won the Penn American Center Book Award, Book Prize.
Okay.
In 2015. I had submitted that to the Penn American Center over, 2 years ago, and I didn't really realize how tough the Penn American City was until I learned that Walter Mosley received an award from the Penn American Center. And, just like one of their fellows or something. So I started looking it up, and it was kind of a big deal, and I was honored.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You want to tell us about, that moment when you found out that you were, an award winner from this exclusive organization? It's got to be mind-boggling.
Right. What they did for me was, the competition involved, the category was for people who were incarcerated who were writing in the memoir section. So Filthy was classified as a memoir, and so what they did was I was excited about the cash prize that they offered me, and they gave me a mentor, a writing mentor, graduate student or it was supposed to be a graduate student or an established author, and what I got was a graduate student, Penn State University.
Okay.
And this person is looking at a novel that I'm currently working on, and they will also, I'm not really looking to be published under a contract anymore, but this is something that they'll look into. So we'll see how it works out.
Okay, sounds good. So you've been writing for a long time. Have you noticed a shift in your writing or content over the years? And if so, how? What shifts have you noticed?
Oh, yeah. When I first started writing, my sentences were way too long. I was way too descriptive. But that's because, like, I grew up reading Dostoevsky and James Joyce and James Baldwin and those kind of guys, and they were very, very descriptive. And I, you know, I grew up reading novels that had, you know, 40-page chapters and very long narratives. So, however, in the urban market, you have to change. You have to be very, very short. Three, you know, in the James Patterson style, three sentence paragraphs, 5-page chapters, and, you know, 40 chapters per book, something like that. Like, you just have to make it. So being in this genre, you know, just recognizing who the audience is and holding attention. So I have shifted from a longer narration, longer descriptive narratives, to short descriptive narratives.
Okay. Now, do you consider yourself an urban author, an urban fiction author?
Oh, man, I don't even like that title because, you know, Walter Mosley writes, you know, from the urban perspective, but he's not considered an urban author. James Joyce writes about his neighborhood. He's not considered an urban author, nor is John Updike or Fyodor Dostoevsky. No one would call them urban authors, but they all write in the urban environment.
Okay, so then what would you say then is your genre?
Oh, man, life, social studies, cultural affairs.
Okay.
If that's a genre, you know what I mean? I mean, I like someone who said about Licks that it offered a little bit of everything, mystery, suspense, love, adventure. Mm-hmm. I like that. You know, I think that if anyone who reads my book, they're going to find, some romance in there, some sex. You know, some violence, so my next book, Sweetwater Manor, it's a detective story, but it's also a love story. So, you know, it's hard to be defined in that way. And, you know, my mentor is Walter Mosley, and I just looked at him, and I've never heard him say he was a genre writer.
Okay.
His name speaks for itself. I mean, he's written science, he's written nonfiction, he let other people say what he is. I would never be I would never limit myself to say, oh, I write this, because each of my novels is life. Like, when you walk through your day, you're not just going to be a mystery person. Like, it's my novels are humanity. So I'd hate to say it's just one thing.
Let me ask you this, because that brings up a really great point. So by not having a certain, you know, genre that you link yourself with, do you find that it's hard to find your target audience?
Well, I mean, if I have to find my target audience, here's the thing. Like, with when I wrote Licks, the target audience is the urban fiction audience, and the flow is for the urban audience, right? But here's the thing. If I wrote a religious novel, okay, sure, it might attract religious folks, but the other 6 days of the week, they're having sex, they're engaging in work, they're engaging in romance, they're engaging in love. So so say I write a church novel and I begin it with a church scene. Well, the next 80% of that is going to be dealing with real life. So say I write an urban novel. So say I write an urban novel and people think, okay, our urban novel has to have sex, violence, money, and murder. Okay, I'm going to give you that. But at the same time, I'm going to give you a situation about life that you can identify with, because none of us live sex, violence, money, and murder 24 hours a day. So when you come away from the novel, say, for instance, with Licks, it's not just about the violence and the sex and the drugs and stuff, but it's a story about, it begins with Angel wanting Stash to get out of the drug game and do something better with their life so that they can live prosperously and not have to fear going to jail. So what Stash does next is he goes to the real estate office, and in that conversation with the real estate lady, there's real life education. Someone who's looking to buy or invest their money in some rental property, they'll come away from that conversation with the game to do it. That includes interest rates, purchase points, investment strategies. You're going to get the whole thing. So in that urban fiction audience, they're going to come away with something that they can really, really use besides how to cook dope and how to get away from the police with the gun stashed.
Okay. All right. Great answer. Love that. All right. So let's talk about your new release, or maybe your two releases, because you had one before Watermelon Summer. So let's talk about that one first, and then go ahead and talk about Watermelon Summer. Tell us about both of those, please.
Yeah, right. Filthy was really, really nice to write because it involved, you know, it's based on a 1984 summer at the dawn of the crack era. And what motivated the release of that was just looking around this urban landscape of urban fiction and just seeing all of the similar titles, similar book covers, similar content. You know, everybody wants to, you know, jump off the building with 100 keys in their pocket and sell $1 million worth of dope. And then you always have the common theme with the side chick who was down for her man and just ratchetness going on. So I thought, you know, I had never really written an urban fiction novel. Like my previous four novels have been erotic fiction. And so I thought, you know what, I come from that. So let me try my hand at that. And the best way to try my hand is to tell my story. So I just told about how when I was 14 years old, I had to move with my grandmother and was immediately put under the influence of my uncles who were all like big time drug dealers. And I just told that story. Resonated with people.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, when did that one come out?
That one came out last year, maybe 6 months ago, I want to say, if that. But
okay.
Watermelon Summer is the previous summer. I should have released Watermelon Summer first, but
okay.
At that time I had an urban fiction audience, and I didn't think that that audience was ready for, you know, something so youthful without the drugs and without
okay.
the sex and the violence.
Okay, so Watermelon Summer sounds like a prequel. Is that right?
It is a prequel to Filthy. It answers a lot of questions that sound like it answers the questions about my upbringing on LaSalle. We appears in Filthy, so it details my relationship with Huey on LaSalle. And, you know, it's the prequel that answers a lot of questions, but it's still a lot of fun. It's really a good book.
Okay. And that one just came out, right?
Yeah, it came out about 2 weeks ago. Right.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, if there was one message that you wanted readers to take away from your work, what would it be?
It would be, you know, the underlying theme through all of my work is, you know, the people that inhabit the book and I hope that the people that read it come away with is that desire, motivation, and dedication in pursuit for peace, power, and position needs to be the aim in life. And if you're not moving in that way, then you're wasting your life.
Okay. Sounds good. So 2016, is Clothing Line
right.
coming out? Tell us more about
right.
that.
Oh, man, that's sweet. You know, I had Peter Mac Apparel a few years ago, but circumstances, I had to shut it down. So what we're going to do with my next book, Sweetwater Manor, you know, I got my website being built.
Okay.
I enlisted the help of Monica Miner, who is CEO of Invisage Couture. She's a high fashion dress designer and apparel designer, and we're going to put Peter Mac Apparel under exclusive contract with her, and we're going to be offering what she terms, or maybe you know better than I do, but it's a Bella t-shirt, which is high thread count, flexible and form fitting for ladies. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to offer the Bella t-shirt for ladies with the black glitter of Peter Mac Apparel print. And we'll
Very
offer
nice.
A unisex t-shirt for men, which is a 6 ounce weight, which is a really good weight. So it's all premium quality apparel. It's not just a t-shirt that you're going to throw in and wash your car with. This is stuff you're going to be able to wear with your jeans and boots. So
okay.
so we're going to, you know, it's all top shelf. You know what I mean? So
I do. It
so,
sounds good.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice. We're going to release that. It should be available soon, but I'll officially announce it when my new book, Sweetwater Manor, comes out, and you'll be able
okay.
to see some styles at the back of the Kindle version of that book, and
you'll
be able to go to my website petermacpresents.com and purchase
okay.
it. It'll send you directly to Invisage Couture. You'll be able to see her lines and what she has offering, and you'll also be able to purchase Peter Mac Apparel.
Okay, sounds good. So is there anything else new and exciting that we can expect from you this year?
Oh, man, we got Sweetwater Manor. Then we got Sweetwater Manor 2, Jack Face in Strawberry Gardens. And then we have, you know, I have a Dominatrix trilogy that I had written some time ago, maybe a year ago. And the first book in that is called Domina. So I think that'll be the third book. And I think that kind of like sets us up. I got a couple
okay.
other situations with a couple publishers that want me to write some stuff. So It's going to be a fashion good year.
All right. Sounds like it. That sounds like it. So why don't you tell our guests how they can follow you on social media and keep up with all the wonderful things that you are doing in the literary community.
You can, you know, I don't discount Facebook. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg built a billion-dollar company, and it's free. So the best place to find me is Facebook. And, you know, ain't no shucking that, right?
That's
you can
right.
also find me. Right. You can also find me at Twitter, at Filthy Confess, and you can find me on Instagram, novelist_Peter_Mac.
Okay. So you might want to repeat those. Okay.
Oh,
what's your handle on Facebook? Tell us that one again.
It's Peter Mac.
Okay. So he's Peter Mac on Facebook, and Instagram
right.
is something different. What was that one?
novelist_Peter_Mac, and on Twitter, at Filthy Confess.
Okay, sounds good. So in parting, what words of advice would you give to an aspiring author?
Shit, like my daddy told me, just keep writing. And my advice to authors is to continue to refine your craft and learn the industry. Oh, and build good relationships. Build good relationships.
Yeah. Great answer. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have certainly enjoyed having you on the show. We have reached the end of our time here. Again, it's been a pleasure having you with Pico. Wish you much success on your literary journey. Again, listeners, we have had award-winning author Pico Cooks / Peter Mac with us today. If you missed any part of today's podcast, you can hear it in its entirety about 5 minutes after the show airs. Thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to support the authors who appear on the show. Of course, if you like what you hear, pass on the word to others. Supporting those in the literary arena is what we're all about. Join me next week on In the Spotlight with special guest author and playwright Rebecca L. Pierce and author Yvette Wilson Bentley at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on WALN, the Abundant Living Station. Until we meet again, make each day a great day on purpose, and don't forget to read a great book. Have a good day.